This is Marcia Savage with Information Security Magazine. Welcome to our special Security 7 podcast. Joining us today are winners of this year's Security 7 Award, which honors innovative security practitioners in seven vertical markets. We have Phil Agquilly of Cox Communications, Brian Engel of Temple Inland, Chris Ibsen of the State of Nevada, Nick Mankovich of Philips Healthcare, and Julie Myers of the University of Rochester. Thank you all for being here today. Another big issue that companies are grappling with these days is the influx of consumer devices into the enterprise. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Are there really some security fears with these consumer devices, you know, being used in organizations, or are companies kind of worrying about that too much? I don't know, Phil, you want to talk about that, your essay?
I can go first. So we're at an interesting time, right? I mean, when I was at my time at Dell, I left a little over a year ago, and I was pitching these ideas about, okay, more and more consumer technology is going to be coming. It's going to be coming in much faster and available. People will buy it. They'll want to use it. I personally actually carry a personal cell phone. When I move out to Austin, Texas, I have my own personal phone, and I never connected it to the company, though. What we're seeing is a lot of people doing that, right? And at the heart of where cloud computing and consumerization of IT kind of strike is that IT organizations can't, you know, quickly manage the devices or bring that capability to the business fast enough. And so I think that's why the consumerization of IT and that's why cloud are very fast and heavy topics that are interesting for the security industry at this point. What I think is kind of interesting is I was writing my article, the Forrester team actually came out with their zero trust model. And it's very similar to what I've been pitching to people, which is a couple of main points. You know, you go thin client, you process centrally, you present locally, I think is how they view it. So the approach utilizes a wide variety of technologies, including like operating system streaming, host desktop virtualization, workplace virtualization. The security implementations is that sensitive data stays central in a collapsed data center environment and presented in a hardened environment to the end user. So remote devices are only allowed to view the environment in a thin client terminal application. You know, I think that's a huge component of their zero trust model, something I've been pitching to people. You collapse your data center, you virtualize your data center. You also create streaming or hosted virtualized desktop environments that you control their experience when they connect to it. The next is, you know, the rest is all about control of the device where you can. You know, and today I think that's all we have. So I know a lot of companies are taking a look at ancillary technology that goes beyond BlackBerry Exchange Server that can control iPhones, iPads, and Android devices. You know, they're protected processes, so continue to, you know, create information that's processed in more of a secure bubble. Provide more protection methodologies inside of the documents. So in this space, I think more application of encryption of data at rest and data in motion with digital rights management and actually enabling that on a broader perspective with heavy monitoring are the other key elements. Their model actually misses a couple of areas, and I've spoken to the Forrester folks about it. Like, there's a huge area that's missing with data classification. I mean, I don't know you all on the phone, but data classification everywhere I've been has always been a struggle, right? And so we start going to consumerization, so the data ends up in a consumer device not owned by IT, by the company, goes into the cloud. Data classification gets even worse, right? Because, okay, first of all, as an industry, is there a generic industry data for classification? You know, I'm actually a co-founder for the Cloud Security Alliance, and, you know, they've proposed things like NPI, non-public information, as a tag, NSI, national security information, data tag, beyond PII and PHI. And I think as we move stuff into the consumer technology, we need to solve this generic industry data classification and a way to automatically mark data as it's created and formed. How do we identify it, how to label it, how to handle it, how to enforce it, how to retrieve it, how to transmit it, how to retain it, because it all relates to regulations, laws, and liability and risk management.
Anyone else have some thoughts on what organizations should be doing about these consumer devices?
This is Nick. I think in healthcare we have some quite formidable challenges. Since we're such a highly regulated industry, we actually really have to take a look carefully at the implications for safety, effectiveness, as well as security. And so a lot of these new devices, there's a strong push, but they oftentimes are pushed by the consumer, and in many times that's a healthcare provider who doesn't understand and hasn't done an analysis of the safety implications of using it. I also think that it's difficult and really challenging from what Phil just said in terms of data classification to realize that data can be classified quite differently across different regulatory domains and different cultures. If I look at just the issue of how to classify personal data and what that means in the 100 countries we do business in, I could not come up with a tag that would work uniformly across those countries. So I fully agree that data classification and ultimately doing digital rights management is a difficult problem. It's almost an insurmountable problem in the world of healthcare and personal data.
I'd like to comment. This is Brian Engel. Phil has some great points on that. He mentioned a bunch of controls that we could put around this consumer device that would allow the presentation of data on it and the usage of it and do so securely, which kind of goes into something that I'm kind of passionate about, which is, you know, not no, but yes, if. You know, there's a list of things that we could do to bring in consumer devices into our environment that we could do to permit them. But it kind of is contrary to some of the reasons why consumer devices are coming into our environment. You mentioned, Phil, that the, you know, kind of the speed and the slowness of IT to be able to adapt to some of these technologies or to bring them in. Sometimes the consumer device is being pitched because it's lower cost. People already own them, so the company doesn't have to go out and buy devices and manage them and things like that. So there's that other shoe that has to drop that, you know, if you want to do these things, but you want to do them safely and securely, then we have to implement some things along with them. And it just becomes the reason that's kind of the yin and yang of the what do we do with these consumer devices. The data classification quandary is well received from me. Kind of goes along with a whole bag of goodies that information security and IS&T have both gotten handed along the way. There's data classification, data retention. There's a laundry list of things that our business constituents don't necessarily step up to take the reins of. It belongs to them. The data does. We're just custodians of it. But you know, oftentimes we're kind of put in this spot of having to know so much more about it in order to classify it or to understand it for any of those things. Disaster recovery is one of them as well. So I'm getting off of the consumerization topic, but things go hand in hand, and I think we want to proceed up the path of the consumerization because it helps enable our businesses. But the other side of the coin has to come along with it. And that's the thing that I think complicates the issue is we still are adding either the cost or the time or whatever to that consumer device that slows people down, and they're really looking for that adaptability and that speed. So if somebody wants to solve that, then I'm all ears.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to add it, and I think I missed it when I said it. I think it's Phil Aquila again. But, I mean, long term, I think if we end up treating the endpoint as hostile, so the devices that connect in to the collapsed data center, you know, inside of that environment, we contain and monitor the data inside of that user interface environment, so to speak. It starts. We don't worry about the endpoint, right? So you have somebody that comes in with a totally compromised iPhone or iPad. If you give them a presentation layer of Citrix and all they can do is connect in via that Citrix interface and prevent them from downloading that data down to their iPad, you've saved yourself already. Because that you know that when that Citrix session ends, your data still lives back at your data center. It was seen by whoever accessed it, yes. And you see how they manipulated it, you can monitor that. And so in a way, you've kind of contained where that data has been exposed to.
This is Julie Myers, and we're doing a lot of what you guys are talking about, mainly right now through policy, trying to push education and policy so that with these new mobile devices, we're helping people understand that, you know, we're not allowing them to
basically download what we'll call legally restricted information to their personal devices, or they're held accountable. But we're looking, as you say, to move towards more of a Citrix level environment to actually prevent them from, you know, viewing their mail through on their iPad and actually downloading their mail onto their iPad. But people are bringing personal devices, especially in the university setting, across the board on and connecting them onto our network every day. And there's no way to prevent it from our perspective. So we have to learn to control it through, again, policy and through a level of technology that still enables them to do what they need to do every day and to not kind of miss having that information sitting resident on their device.
Yeah, I think what's funny is if you look at it, right, I mean, we've all kind of seen kind of the evolution of NAC and NAP, mm-hmm. right, network access control. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, the best place where I saw success with it was we were connecting wireless clients. So you interrogate the endpoint there and you apply some security controls or at the endpoint. When you did that at the VPNs, and people coming in from traditional technologies, they complained because it took too long to connect. The wireless folks, it was all new, so, okay, they'll take the extra 30 seconds and put in a walled garden. This whole philosophy of treating the endpoint and putting in a containerized virtual desktop, streaming virtual desktop, takes all the elements of NAC and NAP where it's failed and really collapses it back into the data center, because you're not interrogating the endpoint. You're containing the data that's being provide as the UI to the end user. It's almost kind of like the evolution of that whole thought process.
So, Phil, isn't that just another part of the yes if, though? I mean, because in a way, through that presentation layer, you are changing the user's experience. If I had my iPhone and I wanted to look at it in the native email, then that wouldn't work. But if I had some other kind of a client-based component on my iPhone, I could still get my function done. But, it kind of goes away from I've been a part of a couple of these different consumerization talks, and it seems that we always kind of get to people really just want calendar and email. At some point, though, it's going to be enabling more, I guess, functionality on these devices. They want to be able to develop apps that they're going to use that aren't things that we're delivering necessarily. Or it is really pushing that consumerization envelope a lot further than maybe we've seen it come thus far. But I think it's inevitable that it's going to get there. So, if you can accept using your iPhone, but I'm going to change your experience and give you a email client rather than the email client that is native to it, then that's the if part of that yes-if equation. But if it's really no, I just want the iPhone and I want the email of the iPhone, then, those are the additional controls are not present. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think you've got to have the additional controls. You've got to treat that end device as if it's, as you say, hostile. It's not a trusted device. It isn't controlled. And so you have to keep data basically off of it. You can allow it to be a window to it, but keep it centralized and protected. But that is a change of the end user experience. It might not be the expectation yet. So maybe we can, get by on that for now. But
well, what's kind of interesting is I'm seeing it at this point is the presentation layer is starting to evolve, right? I mean, Citrix has a gesture-based remote access solution specifically designed for the iPhone or, Apple iPhone OS. So the gesture-based UI that you would come in from an iPhone and possibly someday with Android, you connect in with your finger, right? It's no longer the two-button mouse PC environment, right? I mean, I'm sure all the Mac people that are listening can contend over the years, they've always complained like, hey, we connect into remote VPNs for the company on my Mac, but it's meant for a PC, not a Mac. And, basically the gesture-based UIs has just expanded that to some more platforms and a new way to compute, right? And so I think people will get their act straight, some of the vendors, on remote access, and then like folks like Microsoft with Outlook Web Access, that's, again, two-button mouse-oriented, will start making these big fat button capabilities just like Apple did, so you can get your email and just use a finger, And I think the UI will continue to evolve and change, but I actually see that as an easy problem for both the streaming virtualized desktop vendors to fix and also the end application vendors to fix, and we'll have answers. I mean, that's why right now the kind of the contain, monitor, control is a great place for us to all be starting with these other, BlackBerry Exchange server-style technologies that are out there that are starting to control the consumer technology. It's that leap of, okay, we're going to control the consumer technology. I think we're going to leave that. I think we all will. I mean, we're looking at it today, but I think I'm hoping and I'm asking my enterprise architecture folks, hey, how long do we have to do that for? Because I'd rather treat that as hostile and get that off of our purview.
I hate to monopolize things here, but if we assume consumerization is kind of this technology thing, I think that's where we're falling a bit short. To me, consumerization is kind of more of a mindset. It's I'm letting my work world and my personal world and my other worlds all just become one world, and so I kind of want all of those things to be a part of one thing. I'm kind of managing my life from a single email. I'm managing my calendar from a single calendar, and I think that's the mindset from a consumerization standpoint that we're going to end up at. And you know, where we're at right now is kind of those baby steps where we're looking at the devices and how can we enable the devices to do enterprise things. But to me, the bigger challenge is how do all of these worlds kind of come into one? Because I think if you look at young professionals, young technology professionals today, their worlds are not delineated maybe the way that some of us are used to, and you know, they're looking to be able to blog or tweet, or you know, to have their social interaction kind of combined with their work interaction, and the work day doesn't really end at the end of the day, or their personal life doesn't start at a single kind of point in time. It's all melded into one, and the consumerization component to me is just kind of how that whole thing is getting combined. And so, you know, we talked about perimeters, and we're trying to still hang on to some delineations, and I think our bigger challenge is how do we start looking at it where it's not going to be delineated, and that's the challenge, and I think that's where the complexities really get tough to tackle.
Thanks very much, and congratulations once again to all of our 2010 Security 7 honorees. For more podcasts, be sure to check out searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Marcia Savage. Thanks for listening.